4 years off?
No, they're this month.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they're starting, and they're gonna start building the space.
Yes.
Residence.
They're going to stay there for 30 days.
Oh, this thing isn't on the moon. This is going to be circling the moon?
No, it's going to be landing on the moon.
On the moon, huh?
You would be a good guy for that, man. You like traveling.
Old man moon.
You wouldn't consider.
No.
You're not that adventurous.
No, not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it does take a special kind of person, right? To say, I'm going to go and be one of the first to live on the moon for 30 days.
Yeah.
I guess if you can fly, if you can live in the space station, for a year, you probably could live on the moon for 30 days, right?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, you can. The whole question is not what you do when you're there. The whole question is getting back. You know what I mean? That's the serious issue. You know, they'll have it set up so that life goes on there, at least for a extended period of time. But it's the return that's the dicey issue.
They got back Alan Shepard, was he the first one that went around the Earth?
Yes.
Okay, so the ones who actually landed on the moon, what were the names of those guys?
Was it Grissom?
Grissom. But those guys got back in what? What was that, the late 60s?
Well, I know, but I mean, that's the return trip. That's kind of the part of the risky thing. You know, you've got to get to the moon. Okay, that there's a risk. Then you got to put down on the moon. Okay, there's a risk. Then the vehicle that you take with you's got to survive the landing and the takeoff and be ready to take off again to bring you back. Right. So
yeah.
It's got to go through all the risks we've talked about. Plus the fact it has to, yeah. I mean, there's been plenty of science. There's been plenty of science fiction stories written about the marooned astronauts.
Yeah, but you know, Sandy, I don't know. The late '60s, they were able to go there, walk on the moon, and get back with that technology. Look how far technology has come now. I'm sure it's certainly a risk, but clearly minimal.
Are you trying to talk me into going?
You'll be there soon.
You know,
I think you'll be there soon. And so, you know, got to be on your bucket list. Why don't you put that on your bucket list?
Yeah, you can put it on your bucket list.
But, you know, it takes... And just to think about that, you know, we got away from the moon, and we started all these other missions to Mars and everywhere else, and it only makes sense that you should start close by, right? I mean, if this space exploration and all of those things, the moon is a lot closer. They know a lot about it. You know, I'm a guy who still watches the old sci-fi space movies from the 1950s, right? Those
Flash Gordon?
Not quite Flash Gordon. Flash Gordon was maybe the 40s.
The 40s.
Yeah.
Buster Crabbe?
Yeah. 30s.
Remember Buster Crabbe? He was Flash Gordon, wasn't he? I think he was.
Yeah, you know, and I'll tell you, I...
Ming the Terrible?
Yeah. So, my favorite space movie was called It. The Creature from Outer Space.
Oh.
The Terror Beyond Outer Space. And... probably was made in 1958, 59. And when I was a kid, I watched it and I was terrified of it, right? The monster was, you know, with the big rubber suit on and when I was a kid, it didn't look like rubber and it was black and white and it was grainy. And now that you've got this high technology television.
Well, the monsters have improved a lot.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, if we're going to talk about technological development, we're talking way better monsters these days.
Yeah. And so I'm watching it the other day, and the Terror from Outer Space.
Hmm. The Creature from the Blue Lagoon.
Black Lagoon. Now, that was ahead of its time. That creature was, they did a really good job with him. But I've seen that probably 40 times, over the years. And it's still just one of the greatest horror movies ever created. You're probably asking me, or why are we talking about this?
Well, I'm kind of wondering myself, actually.
because I was, you
gonna
know.
Get into King Kong and Godzilla and
King Kong.
Yeah, that was not a good monster. That
what?
He was pretty artificial.
Well,
animated.
when they would come up really close to him.
Yeah,
but that's the 1930s, Sandy.
Well, I know that was something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, it wasn't quite around when they first created it, but you know, even today, if King Kong is on, the original King Kong, I'm watching it, right, for the 100th time. You have any movies like that that
I watch and watch and watch?
Yeah,
Silverado.
Silverado's a great movie.
Yeah, I've watched that many times.
And what about, Tombstone. Tombstone.
Val Kilmer.
Oh, the original Tombstone.
No, I'm talking about the, Val Kilmer is Doc Holliday.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the original Tombstone. You ever see that one?
Probably, but yeah. I'm most taken by the Val Kilmer Doc Holliday.
Yeah. Well, the Doc Holliday.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
Incidentally,
I've just read Huckleberry. I always wonder, well, now why does Val Kilmer and why does Doc Holliday say I'll be your Huckleberry? Actually, what he's saying is I'll be your Hucklebearer, which means I'll carry your casket.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yes. So he says, "I'll be your Huckleberry," which means, I'm going to kill you. I'll carry your casket.
You know, the original Tombstone had Kirk Douglas. He was Doc Holliday.
Oh,
and if you can imagine, and the original is Burt Lancaster.
Hmm.
What was the name of the brothers? It was Doc Holliday and then White Earp.
Yeah, the Earp Brothers.
The Earp Brothers. Yeah. And so I'll watch that again and again and again, and I have again and again. I'm not big on new movies, right? I don't, you know, I got this, 100,000 channels. I actually have 16,900 channels.
What are you talking about?
there's this thing that my wife has.
Oh, so this is the number of different sources of streaming?
Yes,
16,900
from all over the world, right? And, as if, someone needs access to those things. But they're broken down. I like the old 1950s and 40s. Crime movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sing.
What?
Who's the guy who? Who's the guy who?
Connery. Have we got have we got Earl in some kind of time warp here this morning?
What's the guy's name?
I want him to remember and recall this. I'm curious about this crime movie.
What's the guy's name? He was about 5 foot.
Is he the guy that shrugged his shoulders
all the time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know who you are.
Yeah.
Tracy. Spencer Tracy?
No, Sandy.
No.
Man, you know everything. How can you not know this guy? There was three guys that in those 40s and...
The Three Stooges?
50s. No,
that's... We know Larry
and
Curly.
And so they were the greatest crime guys in those old movies.
I know who you're talking about.
Edward G. Robinson.
Oh yes.
Sing.
Yeah.
Sing. Yeah. And
said Edward G. Robinson.
Edward G. Robinson. What was the other guy's name?
Oh God, Earl.
You mean I finally found something we can't get, Sandy?
Oh, you know, really?
I can't help it. So I'm stuck on these things, and I've been watching them nonstop. So my wife is asking me the other day, she said, every time I look up these movies from the 40s and the 50s, are on. Why are you always watching the movies from the 40s and the 50s? Well, you know, I'm not a guy who experiments with a lot of the new stuff.
You just don't. Yeah, you got to be careful. Careful of what new information you might.
I mean, movies are a bit of a different breed. I would say stay away from anything from blockbuster Hollywood, but there's a lot of good stuff being produced now.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't want to see the new stuff. Mm. Okay. I just... You know, I'm stuck in.
You don't want to. You don't want to have no change.
No change.
No.
No. I'm stuck in.
You want Spencer Tracy?
Yeah.
And Edward G. Robinson.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out who the other guys were.
Well. What's the guy's name? Oh, Edward G. Robinson wasn't the guy who said James Cagney.
James Cagney
is the guy.
He was a little guy.
Saying,
yeah. He's the one who shrugged his shoulders. Yeah. And James Cagney started out as a dancer.
Yeah, he did. And so
he was in some movies where he did dancing with, Kelly.
Yeah, yeah. Gene Kelly.
Gene Kelly. Oh,
yeah. I love those movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, those are the kind of movies I'm talking about, man. The old cowboy movies with Scott. What's the guy's name? Sandy, you should know these guys.
Well, it takes me a little while to get all the way back.
I had to get warmed up this morning. But I just had that. I had to get that off my chest.
Well, hop along. You certainly aren't thinking about hop along. You're thinking about the movies with the movie guys. Tex Ritter?
Yeah, well, Tex Ritter.
Well, he was a cowboy movie star.
Yeah, well, you know, a little more... Anyway, thank God for a break, right?
God, please.
Yeah, because this is like, I don't even know what you guys are talking about half the time with this one. So.
Right. Again, there's a listening audience that knows what we're talking about. It's very small.
I feel so stupid.
Right. I don't know. There's some folk calling, so, you know, I don't know.
Maybe they remember the guy's name.
Yeah.
I tried to answer him, and he didn't answer.
Okay, you got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be back.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Just how wide a range of music this young man has, man.
It seems to be infinite.
Yeah. It really is unbelievable.
It's much newer and fresher than the movies we were talking about.
Yeah. Well, that was Stevie Wonder. That was Saturn off of Songs in the Key of Life, which is...
Well, yeah. I mean, I remember the album.
Yeah.
You know, it was quite a while ago, but I don't, you know. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Do we have somebody on the line?
We do, but I've tried screening them a couple times.
Okay, let's bring them on. Who do we have on the line?
I've tried screening them a couple times, and they didn't
Maybe it's the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Be careful with your phone, Connor. Be careful with that phone.
Hey, good morning. How you doing? What do you say?
Good morning, Earl. This is Jack from Milwaukee.
Yes, sir.
Not the Black Lagoon.
Yes, sir. I'm the guy from the Black Lagoon. First of all, I want to commend you, Earl, for putting up with some of these conservatives. You've got a lot of patience. I couldn't put up with that nonsense. But anyhow, I want to set the record straight with this squirrel from Sussex, and I want to expose him what a phony he is. First of all, he wonders why I'm angry. Well, like I said yesterday, I paid into Social Security, and I earned my VA benefits by serving in Vietnam. And he is in favor of taking them away from me.
You mean Ron Johnson?
That's right. And, of course, this greedy squirrel from Sussex is in favor of that, see, because he wants everything for himself. I earned it. I worked for it. If I stole from him, he'd be angry, too. Okay, number two, I want to expose him now. What a phony he is. He called in yesterday, and he's criticizing your callers into you. He says, they're so angry all the time. I'm so happy. I never get stressed out, he claims. Okay, well, I want to refresh this greedy squirrel's memory. A couple weeks ago.
Why don't you tell us how you really feel, Jack?
just give me a second here. You didn't have me finish.
All right.
Hey, look, I want to expose him, okay? Because this guy's a phony. Okay. He says, I'm sorry. I'm happy. Your callers to you, they're so angry and stressed out. I'm happy all the time. Well, I want to refresh this greedy squirrel's memory. He called into the Matt Flynn show a couple of weeks ago, and, he was outraged that the FBI raided poker porn star Trump's home. He says, I believe he used the term, he was pissed off. And he made a declaration of war against the FBI.
Hey, Connor, stay close to the dump button.
He wasn't so happy that day. He wasn't so happy. He wasn't so. He was very angry. That makes him a liar. Okay, then to top it all off, he says to you yesterday, "This hypocrite. I'm a Christian." He puffs his chest out, and he brags what a nice guy he is. Well, I don't know what religion is. I'm Catholic myself, and I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says, you steal from the poor and you give to the rich. I was always taught that the poor and the hungry, you have with you always, and you're to help them. But this greedy, selfish,
Jack,
if he doesn't need his Social Security, he's probably got enough money squirreled away. He doesn't need it. So why don't you donate it to charity? Be the good Christian
You got to stop letting. Jack, you got to stop letting him be a part of your brain.
You know something. I don't like phoniness. I just, like I said, Earl. I just want to set the record straight. That's all. I want to expose what a fraud this guy is. You know, these guys call in, they talk all kinds of stuff, and then later on, they don't put up. You know something? They're a bunch of frauds and phonies.
Okay, Jack.
I'm a pretty happy guy myself. But when you want to steal from me what I got, what belongs to me, I get angry. And you know something? I stole from him. Hey, Earl, if Jack, I stole from him, he would be angry with me too.
Jack, this is Sandy. I just want you to take a deep breath here because, you know, I understand your anger, and I feel it, but we gotta move on to another subject.
Yeah, we've got to go to the break, Jack. Thank you very much for the call.
Okay,
really.
Hey, Jack.
Yeah, you.
Thank you for letting me
Jack.
Feel a lot better.
All right, Jack.
Breathe.
Thank you very much. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
If I had you back in my world, I would prove that I could be a better girl.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 8.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
I think that was If I Had You in My Mind, Earl, I think.
Come on,
yeah, Jasmine
man.
Sullivan was singing about you, Earl. You're one lucky guy.
That was
is that what happened?
No, yeah. No.
Oh, okay.
Sandy is just cheesing you.
Okay, well, my head was starting to swell.
It rhymed with girl.
Welcome back. My ego was starting to, you know, grow. Anyway, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. You know, Sandy, I wonder if we should screen our next caller to see if he's got a bone to pick with another caller before we bring him on. You think we should do that?
No, not this caller.
Okay,
no,
all right.
Tom is.
Hey, Tom, how you doing, man?
Hey, good morning, Earl. First off, government means we the people. Changing that definition instead of saying we the people are the government. Government means we the people. Actually, I haven't called all week because I've had COVID. After taking every precaution possible, but it got me.
Did you have any signs of it? Symptoms?
Not really. Yeah, no, symptoms. It was Sunday morning. I went to the gym. I came back from the gym. I wore my mask at the gym. I started coughing, and then I got like laryngitis. Never got a fever. Never got anything like that.
Have you been vaccinated?
Yeah, four times.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm the only bad day was really Monday. Monday was the worst day. Nauseous.
Well, join the club, tired. Tom. Nobody's going to escape it. Sandy and I have had
No,
it.
They're not.
That's, you know, it's going to happen.
Exactly. But what I wanted to say was that, you know, I wanted to put a little bit of a public service announcement out there for people like CJ. CJ, there's a program out there right now. It's called where you can save money on your internet. A lot of people use the internet, and Joe Biden and the Democrats have actually put a program out to the FCC that saves you $30 a month on your internet bill. And it is www.f.gov/A/Apple, C/Charlie, P/Peter. And that will help you guys save $30 off your internet bill. And I'm sure CJ won't use it because, you know, that's government handout. But, you know, it is we the people's money. It is we the people are the government. We the people are the taxpayers. So people might want to take advantage of that. And,
how does it accomplish the savings? Does it provide a credit you back get a to your supplier, to your provider?
Yeah, you get a code, Sandy, and then you call into your cable provider, give them that code, and then they will take that $30 off your internet bill.
And is it
paid
is
for
it,
by We the People?
Is it need-based, or is it provided to anyone and everyone?
No, it's not anybody and everyone. It is need-based. But it definitely, I work for one of the cable companies along with my other company that I own, glpages.com. A lot of people have been really helped out of with it, residential customers that I have run into. And, you know, sometimes the Democrats need to actually announce some of the good that they're doing for We the People or for the people out there. You know, rather than, I don't know why they're hiding this type of stuff, but they should be talking about this, because I think $30 a month on an internet bill could really help a lot of people. But like I said, I'm sure people like the Republicans and CJ and people like that would never, ever take a handout from you know, we the people government. They'd much rather that money go to the military-industrial complex or to Big Pharma or, you know, somewhere like that that they think is God.
Hey, Tom, man, thank you for the information. Rest, get better. We'll talk to you
Absolutely.
Next week. All right.
You bet.
Sandy, I wanted to talk about where we are with Mar-a-Lago, the what has happened, and whether or not we're going to find out about the raid, the information. The government is really careful about what it is they want to let out to the American people, We really want to know what it is they have.
Well, what's happened so far is what was released up until today was the warrant, right? The search warrant. The search warrant provides what the court has approved for the search, and it provides access through the warrant to particular premises, and describes the kind of things at the premises that they're entitled to search and look at. But then the question is, how was that warrant obtained? And the warrant gets obtained by representations that are made to the court by the prosecutors. And the prosecutors typically have affidavits that are signed by individuals who have provided information to the prosecuting office, telling them what it is that might be found at the premises, giving the reasonable cause, essentially, for the prosecutor's belief that if we search this premises, we will find the following kind of things which relate to a crime or a potential crime. And so that affidavit basically describes the basis for information from individuals, which has given the prosecutor and therefore would give the court reason to believe that if they carry out the search, they'll find some evidence of criminal behavior. Those affidavits are normally confidential, and the reason being that they demonstrate to the court and would demonstrate to the defense who it is that's talking to the police and giving them information. People who talk to the police and give them information might be doing it on the basis of being of confidentiality, because they believe they won't have to be called as witnesses, because the evidence that they're providing, the information they're providing is going to obtain evidence that won't require their testimony to prove up the crime that's being investigated. So that's the problem with this. Individuals who thought they were going to be confidential and were providing information will lose their confidentiality, and the people out there who might provide confidentiality without the promise that they would be a witness would no longer be willing to provide that, because they think they will no longer have confidentiality.
So, Sandy, I'm not, you know, law is so difficult to follow, but we hear Freedom of Information Act.
Mm-hmm.
Is any of that involved in this?
No, I mean, Freedom of Information Act has to do with the information that's held by the government, and that includes the courts, but then the courts have a whole set of rules associated with what is public and what is private with respect to what's filed in the courts, and the judge has purview over over the notion of what's confidential, subject to whatever the law is about what can be confidential. So it's different than just the Public Information Act.
So the American people will never really find out what really took place there.
Well, no, they might find out because the judge might make all the information public. So what's happened so far, we understand. It might be public as of this moment because I think they have until noon today. The prosecuting office has till noon today to make public the redacted version of the affidavit that was provided to Magistrate Reinhardt, upon which he based his decision to issue the warrant.
Redacted meaning what?
Redacted means you take a black Sharpie and you black
cross
out,
things out.
You cross things out so you can't read it. So redacted means you're going to take some of the words that are written or some parts of the words that are written and black them out.
Okay, well, which doesn't then give you the full content.
Well, that's right. The content would be restricted to that extent. And the reason is that, as I was saying, the investigation of a crime, by the nature of that process, can't all be public because you go and you talk to people. They're going to be frank with you. They're going to give you information, which might or might not be the truth, okay, which needs to be followed up by the investigator to figure out whether it might be the truth. And they're going to give information maybe on the basis that their identity will be confidential and that the information they give could give the prosecutor a trail that they could follow that would come up with a bunch of evidence that is dispositive in and of itself without the need for the support of that confidential witness. So there's lots of people in investigations who want to be held confidential,
right,
and are going to give information which can find evidence of crimes which doesn't require their testimony. I mean, many, many violent crimes are investigated in just that way.
So the truth will be gotten to. The courts will know in the final analysis what the truth is.
Well,
they just can't let it all out.
Well, the truth doesn't necessarily include the identity of these confidential sources. We don't call those witnesses, we call them confidential sources. And the confidential sources' confidentiality might well remain all the way through to the end because the information that they sourced in and of itself was dispositive, you know, led to a bunch of evidence that was admissible in the court that didn't require their testimony. And so their testimony and their identity would never be required.
You know, the reason I'm asking all those questions, Sandy, is all the people who I know and I talk to and who want to see, we finally got Donald Trump. We got him.
Yeah.
Did we have him?
Well, no, we don't even know. We don't know what the evidence is.
Okay,
we've got a list of sort of titles that, you know, let's say, okay, highly confidential, highly secret information. But we don't know what that information is, and we don't know what it's being alleged that he used it for. And so, no, we don't know. I mean, this is a little bit like judging the Russian-Ukrainian war by the day, you know, each day's battle, you know, or it's like going to the stock market and looking at one day's results and saying this is what it's going to be, you know, going forward into the future. This kind of information is just partial.
You know, the problem with all this, Sandy, is the media, you know, all this stuff is out there. You see it and you keep reading this, you know, information about these papers that he took and he read them all, and, you know, I find that hard to believe that Donald Trump is sitting down reading, you know, all those papers. And these are confidential papers, and they belong to the government, and he shouldn't have done this. And so now he's going to pay a price for that. But he's not shaking in his boots, is he?
Donald Trump?
Yeah. From this?
No, I mean, I don't think so. He's undoubtedly...
And he's got attorneys who will cover up things for that.
Well, I'm not sure how competent his attorneys are, but, but he does have the...
He's got the money to get the best.
Well, yeah, I know, but he's having a lot of trouble finding law firms that will represent him. He's stiffed a lot of law firms in the past. A lot of law firms are concerned about... I mean, he's going to have trouble getting good counsel. And clearly his counsel, his team so far is not a bunch of rising stars. You know, Rudy Giuliani is not a...
He's still not counting on Rudy Giuliani, is he?
No, I'm sure he's
not. Yeah, no, but...
I'm sure he's not. But,
yeah.
But no, he's got political theater that's going to provide him with a great deal of support and benefit in this whole thing, because whereas you know, someone else might get charged with crimes associated with what's going on, to charge this the ex-president of the United States with something, it's going to have to be a very glaring crime. It's going to be have to be something that the general public out there will shake its head affirmatively. Yep. That is a crime that should be charged against anyone, even the ex-president.
So we've got to go to a break, Sandy, but I don't want to let this go right away. I want to carry it over to the next break. Got to go to a break, 844-967-2789. Be right back.
Come back,
so, Sandy.
Baby, I'm going to do anything for you, yeah.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Sandy Williams. It's Friday, so Sandy Williams co-hosting. And you know, Sandy, law, you always talk about things complicated. Law, what's any more complicated than law?
We lawyers tried to make it as complicated as possible. We're like the priests who only gave mass in Latin, so that you know you didn't understand it, right? So
yeah.
you got to ask the priest about it. But you know what we were talking about leading up to was that, you know, the Donald Trump investigation, and it's this is not the complicated part of law, because this is more of a public reaction. Kind of an equity issue associated with the law. So that, for instance, what I was saying off the air, you know, Donald Trump is basically this investigation so far is looking at information that Donald Trump, documents that Donald Trump took from the White House down to Mar-a-Lago. And then the question is, you know, it was illegal to do that with almost any document, because apparently under the document retention requirements of government, the president, all the documents that a president gets during his term of office belong to the government. They don't belong to the president, and he doesn't get personal possession of them automatically. And in order for them to go to his library or something, they have to go through this whole government document process to figure out what can go to the library, and it gets reviewed. And it always belongs to the government, even when it's in the Donald F. Trump library or the Barack Obama library or wherever it goes. So now we've got documents on this list of documents taken. You know, he's got a letter from the president of North Korea, maybe, and he likes showing that to people, and he's taken that home with him. Well, is he going to get charged with the crime? Because that clearly is something that belongs to the government. But I don't think his followers or the American public would necessarily think that Donald Trump ought to be charged with a crime associated with the document, if at all it is something that he likes showing people. And there's no harm to the federal government or to the people of America as the result of that. He's got nuclear secrets, apparently, that he took with him. Now, if that's the case, it's going to be much more important. What are the nuclear secrets? What was the potential harm to national security and to the American public as a result of the nuclear secrets that he took with him, and what was his purpose behind it? All of that could relate to, and I think that's the kind of information that he has that could relate to potentially charging Donald Trump with something, but it's going to have to be something that is both flagrant and damaging to the American public, and it's not just going to be for something like a letter from the president of North Korea.
You know, Sandy, you said something again that is what puzzles me. The law shouldn't be worried about what his people say or think. So help me understand.
Well, the law does require that the public believe in it, okay, and that they trust it, and so the ability of law to survive the skepticism of the public with respect to, for instance, it being exercised as a matter of favoritism is important. So it's important that the law be handled even-handedly, and if someone would more likely get a slap on the wrist for instance taking,
we've seen that.
Well, we've seen it with public figures, but it is true that privately, people who do things that aren't necessarily harmful but are illegal might get a slap on the wrist from the court. They might get charged a ticket.
But I thought the law was blind.
Well, that's right, but the public doesn't understand that necessarily. And if the public, let's say that Donald Trump gets charged with something that 65 million people in the United States believe is trivial and shows that it was a political witch hunt, just like he claims, then that is going to be damaging to the legal system.
Okay.
Okay? And so the law has to be careful about exercising itself in a way that could be damaging to the legal system. And you know, we found out damage to the legal system as we've watched, for instance, the things that led to Black Lives Matter. You know, the process of exonerating policemen who were probably guilty of brutality damaged the legal system, and maybe we're getting back from that a little bit, because now it seems that police officers are in fact sometimes now being held accountable.
So what you're saying to me is that the law is not so rigid, is not just cut out in this manner that everybody has to follow it verbatim. It's a living kind of thing.
Well, first of all, jury trials decide most criminal cases, so we've got juries that decide the law, and what they decide might be very contrary to what most people think is the letter of the law or the facts. We've got that same situation with respect to President Trump. Ultimately, if he got tried for a crime, he'd have the right to a jury if it went that far.
Right.
And so, you know, the prosecutors, what they bring for as charges, we know for a fact that the Black Lives Matter movement to some extent was generated by the fact that prosecutors would decide not to prosecute cases against people that a number of the public watching it thought the crime ought to be prosecuted against because of the conduct that they understood had happened. But the prosecutor had looked at the conduct and looked at reports on the conduct and looked at it from their own vantage point and decided, you know, no, I'm not going to bring that case. We're not going to prosecute that case. We don't think a jury would find them criminally liable, or we don't think the facts actually warrant bringing that case. So, I mean, there's always judgment involved with this, and now we've got a situation with the President of the United States, and everyone's very carefully watching the judgment that will be applied to even the question of whether the case is brought.
You know, Sandy, the more I hear from you and the more I realize, you know, this not a whole lot is going to happen to Donald Trump. Not the things that we have been led to believe or many of us thought are going to happen. Again, based on what you just explained, the law, and brief, clearly, the law is so involved, you're not going to give us any simple answers to what it is. But you just kind of framed it in a manner that we can understand.
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong now is that the public that supports Donald Trump is claiming that he's subject to a witch hunt because it's being investigated, okay?
Right.
Having something investigated against you is far less than having it charged against you. And I'm confident that in order to preserve the sanctity of the law, it's very important that public figures, even ex-presidents, that the public understand that, hey, at least these potential crimes that have been committed will be investigated. I mean, if it wasn't investigated, there'd be 81 million people right, saying, what in the world? You're not investigating this. Now it's being investigated, and some portion of that 75 million that voted for Donald Trump are saying, wait a minute. You're investigating? This is a witch hunt.
All right. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.